This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ooh,
what is up?
Your hair is up. Look at that.
What?
You've got some serious flow going in the back there. I just kind of looked back there.
You just noticed?
Well, no, but it's extra. You got a little Phil Mickelson thing happening for you right now.
I'm a lefty.
It's just kind of all like...
with man boobs.
It's partied in the back.
Wait a minute. Phil's
in shape now.
I'm a lefty.
Yeah.
I have man boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I love golf.
Phil?
The only difference... is it you? Is that you?
What?
The only difference is our bank accounts.
Yeah, he has significantly more.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and talent and the private jet.
Yeah, talent.
Yeah, you know, the Masters. And hey, you know what?
He wears a watch, though.
Neither one of... does that bother you? Yeah, you're not a watch guy.
We've talked about that. It doesn't bother me. I'm just not a watch guy.
Yeah, you never a watch guy. But you know what? Neither one of you ever won the U.S. Open.
That is correct.
It's like the Wade Boggs thing. He's never been in my kitchen, right? We have that in common. So, yeah, it's... Phil Mickelson has never won the U.S. Open. You've never won the U.S. Open. Yet another thing
we're tight
that you have in common.
I think I should write him a letter.
You know, he responds to a lot of people on Twitter.
Oh, and he's great.
He's one of the best Twitter users. Like, Twitter is a cesspool of humanity.
It can be.
And will probably be the downfall of society. But
wow.
Every now and then there's something good on there. And Phil is one of those guys that is just delightful.
He's taken to it recently, and he's very good at it.
Yeah.
And he's got a good sense of humor. Now,
but you can't argue with the fact that that's like the worst, things that go on all go on Twitter. Like,
oh.
If you want to find where, well, that and that, was it 4chan or 4chan, whatever that thing is?
Yeah, see, I don't know about 4chan.
That's also where bad things go. I feel like Twitter and whatever that place is.
I feel like you really should throw 4chan way higher on that list than you're putting Twitter.
Really? Why?
It is
what happens
awful.
On that?
It's just like
anything bad.
It's just like where all the bads go and talk to each other and set up mass shootings.
If you want to find where like the worst of the worst, like Twitter, I said, is the cesspool of humanity. I don't know what's lower than the cesspool of humanity, but that is a... is it
4chan?
4chan.
4chan is hell
on the
internet.
There you go.
Well, you make me want to go there and check it out.
You shouldn't. It's,
what is that, 4chan.com? Do you have to have a password or something?
It's bad.
It's just a bunch of message boards, but there's a lot of bad message boards.
Yeah.
Really,
okay. Really.
And that's
really,
all legal? All on the up and up?
Well, I mean.
Or is it like.
I mean, it's there.
It's just unregulated.
Yeah. It's like the wild. The wild, wild west.
Filth.
Right? Like you know.
Those people need to get in the church.
Yeah. Well. That for instance, like when the guy shot up that church and he live streamed it, like that's the place.
Oh,
where,
that was?
Well, you didn't.
4chan?
Yeah. Like he live streamed that thing. And then of course, like they're the ones that are like, hey, put it here. Why not?
Is Facebook worse than Twitter though? Do you think? When you're talking about.
No, because I think Facebook is at least, well, I guess it's not totally, but at least Facebook, there's a name attached to it. Whereas Twitter, I think people are a little more bold because it's fairly anonymous. So I'm going to say Twitter worse than Facebook. And Instagram is just people photoshopping and then pretending that you're rich and, you know, and that really good looking, like that whole thing.
Yeah. Instagram's harmless.
Yeah.
But
well,
Twitter,
I guess not. Well, harmless,
to me, it's pretty harmless.
Harmless is a strong word, but of the social media platforms, yeah.
That's... Well, I mean, nobody ever goes on there and, you know, call somebody else the C word.
No, it's just that you
but
go
it's a
on
regular
there
occurrence on Twitter.
Yeah, you just go on there and pretend that, like,
yeah.
I don't know, you're rich and famous.
Yeah, so why is Twitter so bad, I wonder?
Again, I think...
because I think they crack down on, like, on the anonymity part of it, or at least they're trying to.
I don't know, man. It's just when you're pissed about something or you hate someone, then you just go on Twitter and then and we all jump on there and you get the community of wackadoos that all get pissed. It's, you know, it's bad.
Those are the woke.
Yeah, the woke. We're all, well, like Ellen right now. She's
yeah,
the worst,
she's under fire.
She's the worst person in the world because she watched a football game with a war criminal, evidently. And, you know, so then we got to go back and do that whole thing. And it's just, it's exhausting. I find like if you're one of those people, you know, I'm not woke. But if you are, don't you just get tired of being angry?
Oh God, no. They feed off of it.
Aren't you?
No. It's the opposite.
At no point.
No. Dude, it's the opposite. Those are people that have to have something to be angry about to feel alive.
Huh.
And that's why you can't really reason with them. You should probably just ignore them and let their ire move on to something else the next day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Just seems exhausting to me.
Oh, totally is, but not for them. Because they're miserable. They have to have the mask to hide their misery, so that mask is deflecting onto...
They're like shoveling the horse manure. That's what it feeds the engines.
That's what it is, bro.
All right.
Well, anyway, where were we, Bill?
Oh, real quick, by the way, happy birthday.
Thank you.
To my dumb older brother.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, how old is he today? John?
40. Let's see, I'll be 46.
Isn't that weird when you get older and you can't remember years?
Well,
like,
I always have to just go off of how old I am and then you add five, but then I had to think about how old I am. But
yeah, it staggers.
Yeah, but it's a year from where I'll turn, so I don't turn 41 till December, so I had to do some, I was like, wait, 46.
He's 46.
He's 46 today.
God.
So we've been together for almost 41 stinking years, and big fella hears hopefully that we get another 41. Knowing us, I doubt it, but hey, you never know. Modern science, and maybe one of us will be rich and
maybe
can help the other one out.
The live forever pill will come out before you pass away, and you'll live forever.
It is weird to think about,
gotta be close, don't you think?
Fingers crossed. Well, they're doing the jellyfish research, right? Jellyfish live forever. They think they're immortal, so maybe that holds the key to it. But it is weird to think that we're a lot closer.
Some people also think those are the aliens.
Oh, the jellyfish?
All right.
They do. I mean, they are alien-like.
Yeah.
I mean, they sting. And
live underwater. And
because
like
aliens
Atlantis
sting?
And
yeah.
Well, they probe,
they
right?
They stingers.
I think those little tentacles, isn't that where the probing comes in? What was that one more time?
That's what they do.
I like it. But yeah, it's weird. As we've gotten older, I think about that, and that we're a lot closer to the end than we are to the beginning, and that's always a kind of a surreal sort of thing.
All you can do, Bill, is live life to the fullest.
Oh yeah, he did that, and he got gout from it. So
no,
maybe
I'm not
live
saying
life
Bill,
less.
No,
the,
no. I'm calling you, Bill, Bob.
Oh.
I'm saying you or John or whoever thinks that, live life to the fullest. You just never know.
But that's when you get gout. So like
live
I said, you can't live to the fullest. You got to live to like three quarters.
So yesterday was my dad's birthday, old man Rob.
Off. Oh,
yeah.
Well, happy
another
birthday
shout out
to the old man Rob.
Yes, he is 77. Jack Rob.
Good man.
He is a great man. And we were talking and he said, because he's done a lot of work in hospitals as a chaplain.
Sure.
And
a man
so,
of the Lord. I still can't figure out where the hell you came from, but
I came from him. Doesn't that tell you all you need to know?
Well, and he's no longer a man of the Lord.
Well, yeah, he is.
Well, but not in an official capacity, and I'd like to blame you for that. I think that
I had nothing to do
with it. I think he lost something when he's like, really? This is what I turned out? Yeah, to hell with it. Let's have a drink.
I am a douchebag.
Wow. It made him lose faith in the Lord, huh?
I feel that that's... Mm. Not right. that far
well, anyway,
from the truth.
I was talking to him, and he said, you know, he spent a lot of time in hospitals dealing with people who have sick loved ones or death, of course, as chaplains do.
Sure.
And he said the magic number, you know what his magic number is? He said, I tell you what, man, I've worked there a long time, and here is the age.
So he's 77, you
he
said?
He turned 77 yesterday.
Okay.
And he said, here is the age where it just feels like, man, it like goes the other way. Mm-hmm. Just that kind of age where it's like, wow.
Yeah, you're not coming back, right?
Well, it's not that as much as it's like just bad stuff starts to happen. Doesn't mean you're going to die. It just means it's like, he's...
Yeah, the odometer, you know, it starts ticking up there. What do we got?
77.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
God, that's a damning conversation to have on your 77th birthday.
I know, it sucks, right? Well, but
you
he's
think
doing
he
all right.
He could have lied, though, and said like 81. Even if that number is 77, hey, Jack Rop, realize that you're having a conversation with your son, bump it up a few. Just inflate it a little bit. He won't know any different.
Jack Ropp doesn't strike me as a liar.
No, he's a man of principle.
He's an honest
and
man.
The Lord. And apparently,
and I tell you what,
77, a man that's turning the corner.
He's doing great. But hey, you know, you get to 77, you're close to 80. I mean, like, don't you think all bets are off at 80? I mean, you're 80. Yeah.
If you told, we've said this, but if you could give me 80, shoot, if you could give me 75,
I'll give you 77 right now.
Done.
72.
Yes. Any below that, and I'll stop.
I'll give you 71.
No. 72 is my, Ed Too Tall Jones is my cutoff line.
Okay.
72. I lost my dad at 71.
Yeah.
You know, and that seemed.
How old's your dad?
He is in his mid to late 60s. I think he's 67, 68 years old.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's getting there. But the thing about, like, when my dad passed, like, he. You would think that, like, when it comes to, at least when I always thought about my parents dying, is like you would, there'd be like that gradual decline, like what you were talking about. Like your dad said 77 and then stuff starts going wrong, right? Like we didn't get like a any sort of that. My dad had always been fine. And then all of a sudden it's 70. It was like, oh, by the way, I've got cancer. And then a year later, like he's gone.
Yeah,
so
you never know, man.
No, I just kind of thought that we'd start to see that decline and he'd be like a lovable old man and like puttering around the house. And then we'd be like, all right, you're going to stop driving. And, you know, you wear sweatpants wherever you go and Velcro sneakers. Like I never got like those adorable old man years with my pop. It just was, he was Big Bobby. He was Bob Brown. And then like the next day it was over. It was very, very fast. And I'm hoping now with my other dad that we get some of those adorable old man years where we can, you know.
Where they forget things.
Yeah.
Mildly racist. And you just laugh it off.
Just feel like, old man Sucanic.
True story.
All right. You know, they start wearing New Balance sneakers, and then you go from New Balance sneakers to, like, Skechers or, like, Spalding shoes. Things like that. You start wearing, you know, like, bad slacks.
Perma slippers.
Yes, I need those years. From this day.
Listen, we got to go because the point of that segment is live life to the fullest. Okay. That's what we want to tell you today. Live life to the fullest. You never know. You just never know. Much like the Atlanta Braves.
I'm not sensing much of a comeback here.
If you have not seen the score, we'll tell you what it is next. It is 312 on the Fan.
Bro.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, here's our AAA heating and cooling poll question today, 1080thefan.com. AAA heating and cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. Today we are asking you, what should the NBA do about China? Apologize and keep raking dat money. Ride the fence and let it blow over.
Yeah, China's not letting that thing blow over, man.
Send fan diplomat Will Darkins.
Dennis Rodman offered.
Or cease all operations in and with China. 1080thefan.com. Yesterday's poll question, if they played today, how many points would Oregon State score against Oregon? 47% of you said under 20.
Wow.
Homers.
Well, again, a lot of Duck fans in there. And the Duck defense has been really, really good. But let's not act like they've played a cavalcade of great offenses.
One thing I wanted to say, you were talking about Twitter being a cesspool.
Sure.
A very, very wise and famous man, well, locally famous, at least maybe not even locally famous, this show famous, said, because you're talking about the woke folks who, like, it seems exhausting.
Yeah.
To be woke about everything and always pissed off.
Outraged at everything that
he
happens.
He said, normal people don't want to be in an eternal state of conflict, and they don't realize that the woke do. So the normal people try to appease them to end the conflict, and then the woke just move the goalposts because that's what they want to do.
Well, I'll tell you what,
who was
that?
Well, I'm not going to say because
then the woke
it's a
people,
private text message, but
the woke people would be all pissed. You know what? That actually is.
Yeah. I learned something. We were talking back and forth about
tip of the cap,
and he said that, and I was like, oh, you know what? That's exactly right. And I wanted to say it on the air because I think people need to realize that because we continue to try to appease the woke.
And
the reality is it's like he said, they're going to move the goalposts. So let's all just save the energy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it doesn't do any good. Like,
so there we
want an apology. You apologize, but it's not
Yeah, it's not good. It's never,
no,
never good enough. Okay, so check it. Listen to this, guys. If you're just tuning in to Sports Talk Radio today, or you were away for lunch or a meeting or something, the Cardinals in the top of the third inning are in Atlanta, and they are leading the Braves 12-0.
No, 13-0. They just scored again.
13-0.
And the bases are still loaded. There are,
There's two outs.
Okay.
Here comes Snicker for another pitching change. Boy, I tell you what, man, this is unbelievable.
They scored 10 in the top of the first.
This will be their fourth pitcher already, by the way.
I think the over-under, depending on where you looked at, was like 9, 8.5, 9. They covered the over by themselves.
In a half inning.
In a half inning.
Boy, I tell you what, man, this is shades of the 1985 World Series. Because do you remember when we had Ozzie Smith on? He told us his story, and of course I remember because I'm Royals fans. You won't remember, but we had Ozzie Smith's a great dude, by the way.
Yeah,
and we
used to come out for Caddy Secure all the time.
Yeah, so we got to golf with him, and we sat down and had a talk. And I was asking him, kind of needling him about the 1985 World Series, where of course the Royals beat the Cardinals, and that was the famous Don Dinkinger call at first base. It was a terrible call, but that was Game 6, and it favored the Royals. They won the game, and then they showed up for Game 7. Again, the series is tied. Cardinals have an opportunity to win the series. They were the better team. And Ozzie Smith told us, he said, once the Dinkinger call happened and we lost that game,
they were done.
We were done. Yep. He goes, and this game is 12-0 or 13-0 in the third inning. I think that Royals game 7, I want to say they dropped 7 on them in the first inning or two. I mean, it was over from the first pitch. And you could feel it. You could tell it. Yeah. It was unbelievable. And that's what this looks like with the Braves.
Well, I mean, this is unbelievable. And if you're St. Louis, and I give credit, Mike saw this on Twitter somewhere. But
oh, no, let's give credit to the proper individual. Okay, and I have drops to tell you who it is. Now, I don't follow this guy, but Mike does.
Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Your show's better than this.
I do.
Our show is better than that. Wait, it's not.
No, it's not.
Do you remember this?
You have a responsibility to your audience to be more responsible.
That is the great Seth Everett. He is the one that suggested what you're about to suggest.
If you're the Cardinals, why is Flaherty still in the game? Why?
We don't know that he's not.
He's thrown 33 pitches.
In two innings.
Oh, wait, we don't know that he is.
Well, they
got to get to the bottom of the third first.
Well, they are now, right? Or no,
they're making a pitching change.
Why did
you? It could be 17-0 before we get to the bottom of the third if there's a grand slam hit.
They were saying this after the first inning when you're up 10-0. Pull him. Why? You've got an opportunity to throw him in game one with a chance to go to the World Series and set up your lineup. Sit him down. You do not need him. It is 13-0. And by the way, the Braves bullpen isn't very good, and the one guy they have already gave up 4 or 5 runs from the bullpen. Sit him. This one is over.
They just brought in, ready for this, get ready for this, Josh Tomlin.
Oh, yeah.
He's not good either.
Well, no, they don't care anymore, do they? Are they just trying? Can they call?
Well, I assume they care.
Is there a mercy rule? Like, they're not coming back from this.
No.
There's no
way. So it's over.
If they do, it's the greatest story in sports history. So,
by the way, this guy Tomlin, his arm will probably fall off with the number of pitches that they're going to allow him to throw.
Yes. I wonder if they're just like, hey.
Throw strikes, dude.
Just so you know, put it over the plate because no help's coming. Right?
13-0, and the bases are loaded, too.
You are a man on an island at this point, and there are no reinforcements. This is you.
I'm with you on the Flaherty thing. I'm not with you.
Well, Flaherty's up to the plate right now, so they're not taking him out.
They're not taking him out. Okay. Interesting.
This baffles me.
Yeah. Well, she'll.
Are you worried at 13-0? Are you concerned here?
Well, I think
that maybe there's a comeback in the making?
No, but I don't know. I can see. Shield is kind of weird. He's
old school.
He's the Ned Yost of the Cardinals. It's like
Kook fan is in with no lead is safe.
Well, think about this too. And I don't think Shield would manage this way, but a lot of guys might. That you if you think, okay, let's pull Flaherty, you are setting yourself up. Now it's 13-0 now, but it was 10-0. You're setting yourself up to be the total goat in a sense that, dude, you pulled the starting pitcher. If by some chance the Braves come back, guess who that's on? It's all on you. You're the one that pulled the starting pitcher.
It's
in the first. I think what he's saying is, and you can agree with it or disagree with it, Schilt is old school. Mike's right. Yeah. He's saying, hey, we're going to stick with what we do. This is what we do. We got Flaherty out there. He's a smart guy. He's going to throw strikes. He's going to get us through this efficiently, and we'll move on.
He's been great, and you're staring here, what, in another day or two, you're staring, well, I guess we don't know for certain who you'll be staring, but more than likely the Dodgers in the face, and I don't know. I'd like to have him on the mound for game one if I'm a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, but guys like Schilt will never say that Flaherty's better than the next guy. He's like, oh, we have just as much faith in Wainwright as we do Flaherty. I'm with you on it. Nope, I'm with Seth Everett on it. But
that hefty bag full of lunch meat that is Seth Everett. Yeah. I wonder if he's still doing for because I used to listen a couple years ago. He was on the Mets radio broadcast.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, which was painful.
I bet he lives with his mom. Don't you think? He seems like the guy that
I can
I'm
see
just,
that.
You know, saving a few bucks, living with my mom right now.
Yeah, just putting some coin in my pocket. But I don't know if he's still on there anymore. But he was, and it was maddening to listen to his hot takes.
The final score of the 1985 Game 7 was 11-0. And the Royals scored 5 in the first 3 innings. And so, that was the one that Joaquin Andujar, I think it was Joaquin Andujar, or may have been John Tudor, got tossed. And then Whitey Herzog got tossed. It was epic. Yeah. Like, they just totally melted down.
And
great.
By the way, 10 in the first inning is a playoff. Well, I guess it ties a playoff record. For
most runs in one inning in a playoff game?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Who else scored 10? Does it have that on there?
Let's look here, because the... The article is Cardinals match MLB postseason.
And by the way,
postseason record.
How about the Braves?
The Angels did it in 2002 to the Twinkies in the ALCS.
Twins. Okay. that was the year of the Angels, the Rally Monkey?
That was probably the Rally Monkey. No.
No, that would have been later.
That would have been later than that. But yeah, a couple people have...
I don't remember the 02 Angels.
It happened in 68 with the Tigers, 29... the 2011 Rangers scored 9 against the Tigers in the ALCS. And yeah, that was about it.
Okay, well, the Braves get what they deserve because even though Fulton Avich threw 7 shutout innings in his first playoff start, they threw him out there for this game. And I tell you what, I don't know what the odds, the betting odds were on this game for you that bet baseball, but I know it's in Atlanta. But two stats. Well, actually, one stat I'll tell you is that in the DS, the last 27 game fives, 18 of them have been won by the road team. So the idea of home field, it hasn't really played out that way.
Yeah.
And the other one is Flaherty versus Fulton Avich, just on paper. I don't know if the Cards were favored because of that, but I would have been all over St. Louis because Fulton Avich, he was awful this year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like he really was even that good late in the year. He came back from being hurt, and he's still just, I mean, he had a few good starts, but...
He had a big performance, though, in
but that guy,
in the series.
Yeah, exactly. But that guy being your game five guy doesn't surprise me at all. It was 10-0 after one because...
Well, he gave up six. They pulled him after four, yeah. But...
But the game about... Two no, they pulled him after four batters.
Yeah, I'm saying he four went across when he was on, but then the other two that came in were
four
attached
runs.
To him.
Yeah, but he's, if you've seen him pitch this year at all, he can be all right, like we said, but when he's bad, it is awful, and that's what happened.
He got one out, by the way.
God.
One.
Crazy.
Well, if you're the Dodgers.
Crazy.
Does that stress you out a little bit that you're at home facing the Nationals?
The Dodgers? What do you mean?
Well, you were talking about the not really mad at home team, road team.
Oh, well, see, the Dodgers and Astros, that's what's interesting is, so the Dodgers and Astros are in game fives, too.
Who would have thought, by the way, that those two teams who were clearly the two best teams in baseball this year, American League, and they're both staring down a game five against the, $57 million Rays and the Washington Nationals, who at one point were dead in the water. I mean, that team was garbage for half the year.
Baseball, playoffs, small sample size. You know, it's not all that shocking. They're only 5-game series. Braves and Astros are the better teams, but here they are in game five. And the thing about it is like they have all the advantages, but they also have all the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's interesting about
this. If you're the Nationals and the Rays, man, you're playing with house money. Just the fact that you're here. But if
no question.
Angels and Dodgers.
And look, man.
Especially the Dodgers, there's got to be a little bit of a pucker factor there because you've had your playoff failures.
There's
not
a
at
pucker
this point,
factor
but.
For both of them. They both have a lot of pressure. I mean, they are the clear favorites. And so you get into this, and then guess, the other thing, too, is like we were talking about Fulton Avich and Flaherty. look at the two starting pitchers that the Astros and Dodgers have to deal with. They're pretty freaking good, dude. Steven Strasburg's going for the Nationals. He's been lights out. And Tyler Glass now is going for Tampa. And those guys are really good. That's a...
So you got Garrett Cole. Dangerous. Who's on the mound for the Dodgers?
They're going with Bueller.
Bueller.
So they feel good about that. That's your guy.
Yeah.
And Cole, I mean, good grief.
He was...
Have you seen his numbers?
Well, he had 15 Ks in, was that game two?
That guy has 326 strikeouts.
Yeah.
He is... I looked at his numbers today. I went through his game by game.
Did you really?
Sports research.
I don't think you did, but let's go with this anyways.
No, I did. May 22nd was the last time he lost a start.
Really?
22nd was the last time he lost a start. And guess how many times he's given up 3 runs or more in a start since May 22nd?
I'm going to go with 0.
Twice. 2 starts.
Yeah.
2.
Well, but on the other side of that, Verlander had been everything that you could want. He got... tagged up.
Yeah, but it's short rest, though.
True. But I'm assuming that Garrett Cole's on short rest, though.
Yeah, we were just debating that yesterday. I don't know if he is.
I don't know if the travel day gave him...
I think he's back on track.
I think this would be 5 days, so I think he's back on track.
Full rest.
Yeah. All right, well, there's a little hot baseball talk, guys. Boom.
Unless you're a Braves fan, then hey.
Hey, it's not over.
Yeah, it is.
Now, wait, one other question.
And by the way... normally, I wouldn't revel in this. You know, it sucks for a fan base, but because it's the Braves, suck it. Take that, Sprig.
Yeah, the Braves, what did they say since, what was it? They're just one of 6 major league teams that haven't been to a championship series since 2001.
That makes me happy.
And that streak continues. Unless they come back here, you know. 13-0.
Of all the teams...
touchdowns, and they're back in it.
Of the teams in Major League Baseball that I just cannot, under any circumstance, find myself rooting for, number one would be the Yankees. Number two, the Atlanta Braves. I can't ever see a scenario, and if the Braves ended up playing the Yankees, I would just watch hockey.
Now, here's a question. If you're a Braves fan, and I love the sad fan shots...
Sure.
Something about me...
yeah.
I just love it. It's so funny. Yeah. Would you stay? Like, it's 10-0 after 1.
Yeah, I'm staying.
You're staying?
Hate watch.
Just grab a couple beers, sit back, no expectations.
If you're going to a baseball game, you better stay for the whole game.
Well, yeah, but do you realize your agony is just going to continue to boil.
I think it'll lessen as the game goes on.
Really?
Then the drinking,
as you come to grips?
Yeah.
And the drinking continues. Plus, I'm assuming you spent $500 at least on that ticket for a game 5. Yeah, I'm not leaving. You can't do that.
Well, then you give up on the idea that you'll see the greatest playoff comeback in history.
Yeah, you hate watch it. Although maybe you do the reverse jinx and say, well, if they're going to have a chance for a comeback, I need to leave because it would just be like me to leave and then have them make a comeback. Whereas if I stay, we leave no choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe that's, maybe that's what you do. You convince yourself that leaving is for the benefit of the team.
All right, we have our NFL Hump Day Roundup at 4. We have some Pac-12 talk a little bit later. But up next, not that I watched it. I don't know if you watched it. I doubt you did. But the Blazers started last night.
I did not.
And I refused to watch it. You could have.
I also refused to watch it.
You could have, like, forced my eyes open and to, you know, those, like, what was it? Was it Clockwork Orange they did that?
Where they do the
force
little...
his eyes open and
sure.
Made him stay and made me watch it, and I still wouldn't have watched it.
I saw on Twitter.
You just would have went cross-eyed and not been able to see the
TV.
Yeah,
I don't know what I would have done, but I wouldn't watch it.
I saw I needed to see on Twitter, and the coaching staff, that was awesome with the 70s garb.
Well, can we just come back and talk about it?
Sure.
We do have some things from the game we need to discuss.
Including the new MVP of the team.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Lillard and CJ, are that's a little old news.
So let's discuss a game none of us watched.
Yeah.
Next. Nice. Here's Mike.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
So if you care, the Cardinals are threatening for more. 2 more men on in the 4th, 13-0. So
when's the backup right fielder? When's he coming into pitch?
Would you do that in a playoff game, or do you just empty them all out? I mean, you're eliminated, so you might as well get some guys.
That's true.
What if he brings in, like, who's their best pitcher in their bullpen? I don't know. Like, Melanson's their closer, but...
Well, I mean, because it's the... Freed guy.
Shane Green. Well, they already, Freed already pitched.
He's already pitched. So that's what I'm saying. I think they did go to their best guy and he gave up four.
Well, who's another starter that they have? God, I don't even know. But let's say they put a guy in, a big guy for next year.
Yeah.
He blows out his arm.
His arm falls off. You're like, whoops.
That's why you let Freddie Freeman pitch. Although you don't want him to blow out his arm either. We do have audio. Mark Melancon, maybe the reason the Braves are losing is because Mark Melancon, the Braves closers.
The most uninspiring video of all time.
His pregame, pregame hype video was quite uninspiring, and we will play that for you in a moment. But the Blazers opened the preseason.
Yes, the NBA is on notice. Wait, that was the Lakers. I'm glad they didn't put anyone on notice. It seemed like a cool night.
I had a chuckle when I flipped open the tweets somewhere in the 9 o'clock hour, maybe last night. I don't know.
Sure.
And I'm reading Blazers Twitter, which is quite a place. And I'm like, God, they must just be torching them. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I love this guy. Look at this and that. And then I checked the score, and they lost by 11.
I know.
And they were down by 10 most of the game.
Like, what? Yes, if you were paying any attention to Twitter, you would think that the Blazers put on the greatest exhibition in the history of the NBA.
No, they lost. Didn't see a lick of it. Don't care.
I did see that Quick, actually. I think Jason Quick, who is the actual rational human being that covers the team, he was talking about how impressed he was with Denver. So I did see that
without
one.
Jokic.
Yes,
he said the bigs they brought in are going to help them a lot.
Yeah,
who'd they bring in?
Well, Jeremy Grant is one of them, former Thunder player.
Yeah, he's got some length.
There are some names I didn't recognize in the box score, but he was just saying there's a lot of length in there now.
Bottom line is this:
it's a preseason game.
It's a revenge game.
What can we take out of the preseason,
Terry? We can take this.
Yeah, there were several things.
Terry Stotts needs to dress like that the entire year.
Yeah, the whole staff looked great.
The whole staff went, because they were doing the 50th anniversary and honoring the, you know, the Blazer history. So Stotts and the rest of the coaching staff all wore 1970s gear, including big crazy medallions and the butterfly collar. He had like the white patent leather shoes. Stotts looked amazing and should wear that the entire season. It was fantastic. The throwback unis were kick-ass. The shooting shirts, I got to buy one. They look freaking awesome.
Shooting shirts?
Yeah, they were wearing the old-school Blazers shooting shirts from like the kind of the late 70s, early 80s. White long sleeve, the old kind of Drexler look. Oh, it was phenomenal. The unis look great. The environment, it just all seemed like a really, really cool night.
The environment was good?
Yeah.
At the Coliseum there?
Yeah, people were raving about it.
Why? That place sucks.
I know, but they just said it was a really cool vibe. You wouldn't want to have anything there on any sort of regular basis. You couldn't have a regular season game there. But I knew three or four buddies that went to that and just said it was like this huge party atmosphere, and there's a lot of excitement about the season. And
oh, that's cool.
That was cool. That was a nice way to kick off an anniversary season.
And they challenged. Did you see that?
They challenged.
Yeah. You know, there are coaches' challenges in NBA now.
Oh, yeah. I was like, they challenged.
And Stotts challenged a call.
Yes.
And he failed.
Oh, well.
They didn't get it.
Yeah, did you have to do the little
You
got to
do
signal?
The finger.
Yeah, do the finger. You give him the circle finger.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you haven't seen this, well, you probably haven't. Like, it's way too early to be up to speed on all the NBA things.
Yeah.
But in the NBA, you can now, a coach gets one challenge a game. They can challenge, like, a goaltending. They can challenge a foul. They can challenge anything. And they go back and review it. And what you have to do is you have to point at the referee and flip them off. And then that's when they know to go and review it.
You give them the double. And then if you want the double challenge, then you flip them off twice.
Yeah, double bird. You have to give them like the one finger in the air. Like
spin it.
Spin it.
Play it back.
Like, let's look at it.
Yeah.
Is the signal, which is funny. There's no like red flag they throw out there. But the Blazers lost their challenge because Kent Bazemore said, no, I didn't foul him. Stotts asked him. He's like, hey, did you foul that guy? Bazemore's like, no, man.
No, I never foul anybody.
And Stotts is like, all right, well, I wanted to get it out of the way. He goes, let's review it. And of course, he fouled him. And he's like, now I know never to trust Bazemore again.
I like this one too. Someone said, was at the game, amazing environment. Now let's never play another game there again. That's kind of my point. It was cool to see once, and now let's leave that place and then tear it down because it's an absolute dump.
Well, I don't think they're going to tear it down.
Well, they should, because that place sucks. But in context of last night, it was cool.
Okay,
don't look now, but comeback might be brewing.
Oh, fireworks.
Don't call it a comeback.
That's stupid Josh.
What?
Donaldson.
Josh Donaldson just hit a home run. The Braves are only down 12.
Hey, it's a solo shot, too. So,
gotta love that. What if he just starts crotch chopping and like
throwing his helmet, celebrating? Talking ass?
Yeah. Oh, did you see the whole chop thing that they're doing there? The Cardinals guy who's Native American.
Yeah.
Got him to. The Braves said, see, the Braves deserve to lose this game. The Braves came out and said, well, okay, well, we're going to tone down the chop when he's out there. And when he's not, we'll
fire it right back up.
Fire it right back. Out of respect for you and no one else, we'll wait for it. We'll wait until you're off the field to do our racist chants. So there. So that's why they're down 13-1. Okay, real quick. What were we talking about? I know.
Something about the Blazers. I don't remember exactly what.
I have two things. We've got to get to them. Lanson audio. It's only 25 seconds. But in the next segment, I have a Coliseum trivia question for you.
Ooh.
Because, you know, the Beatles played there, you know that, famously.
Yes.
1965. $5 for a ticket to that Beatles show there.
Boy, I'm guessing
two shows they played.
I'm guessing that would go slightly more today.
Probably.
Well, it'd all be the ghosts, except for Ringo.
Yeah, what if Ringo just...
Well, no, you got Paul. Yeah, McCartney's still around. Sorry.
God, you killed off Paul McCartney.
I was putting Paul McCartney in the grave.
Good hell.
Well, they tried to do that a long time ago, but, you know. I don't feel so bad.
Elvis played there. Elvis came through the Coliseum twice.
See, that I did not know.
He was in there 1970 and then later in 73 or something. And Led Zeppelin played there, too.
I do know that if you're driving by Kalama, Washington, like on your way up to Seattle, there's a hotel that their big thing is Elvis slept there.
Oh, cool.
So maybe that was when Elvis was going to play at the Coliseum.
Well, Stotts challenged and lost. And they had the free Hong Konger sign. Did you see that?
Yeah, but then you get kicked out, and that's a whole
Well, they thing. Didn't in Portland.
No, but where
they
was
did
it?
They did in Philly.
It was in Philly. Yeah, they booted someone out because they were wearing the mask and had the free Hong Kong sign.
They did a whole free Hong Kong bit, and they said that they were disruptive, so they kicked them out.
Yeah.
The one in Portland didn't get kicked out because, well, they just had a sign.
Yeah.
But that's a touchy subject.
We already have the new MVP of the league. If you weren't watching Blazer Twitter.
Yeah, it's Mario Hezonja.
Yes, the Lillard and McCollum, whatever, we've moved on. We have the new greatest player of all time. Oh, I don't know how Orlando ever let this guy go. He's just, pencil him in right now, All-Star game.
Mario Hezonja.
Yes.
That's who Blazer Twitter's on to.
They love him. Yes. He had a reverse dunk and whoo. Just imagine him running that break.
All right, so in our next segment, Melanson Audio, he'll get you fired up, and Coliseum Trivia, 3:46 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
This would be a good time to tell you that Mike often says this music relaxes him. Mike Lynch, everybody.
Take that for what it's worth.
Such a great riff in this song. So good.
One day, I'm telling you, when he snaps, don't be anywhere around him.
Better You Today text line 55305. Fun fact, the Beatles stayed at the Camas Hotel in downtown Camas to avoid crowds when they came to Portland in 1965. That from P1, friend of Bropez, brother of Condingo.
All right. Thumbs up.
Can you imagine?
We have no idea if that's true, but let's take it for fact.
I'm going with it. They said fun fact.
Yeah.
I tell you what, can you imagine the Beatles... And Paul and John and those guys cutting a wide swath through the 1960s Camas poon.
I think there was.
Good grief.
I'm guessing because I grew up around that area, and let me tell you, even in the early 90s, there was nothing going on in Camas.
They got to bring them in.
It's like Bill Walton hanging out in La Center, same sort of thing.
Well, here's my Veterans Memorial Coliseum trivia. By the way, did you know they changed the name to Veterans Memorial Coliseum?
Hasn't it always been the Veterans Memorial Coliseum?
No. It used to be Memorial Coliseum.
Oh.
They changed it several years ago now. But
I was going to say.
Veterans Memorial. And the Veteran Memorial sucks. I don't know if you've been to it.
It's the worst thing ever. It's embarrassing. And they got that fountain and no one takes care of it. And there's always like algae in it. It's just.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. You look at that thing and like.
Didn't you say it's like it's in the basement or something?
Well, it's like. When you the entrance, like if you want any of the offices, you have to go down those steps. Like when you if you park in the garage there across the street from it, you take the stairs to go down, and that's where the memorial is. It's as bad a memorial as you could come up with. Like when someone has like a tragic passing and they do those roadside ones, where like they put together teddy bears and stuff, those are way better than what they have going on down there. And please say it correctly. It's the WA Memorial.
The WA Memorial has had 8 college or pro sports teams play there. How many can you name?
8 college or pro? Like as their home arena?
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming Portland State.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you got the Blazers.
Idiot.
U of P.
U of P has won, yes. As a matter of fact, the Pilots played there for almost as long as the Blazers. 1960 when it opened to 1984, Portland Pilots basketball.
So Pilots, Blazers, yep. Buckaroos.
The WHL, yep.
Winterhawks.
Yep, they've been there since 76.
So that's 4. Who else we got? The Lumberjacks, maybe?
What? No, they were in the...
They were in Providence Park or whatever it was, right?
No, the Lumberjacks were in Moda Center.
Then
the Rose Garden.
Okay, what about the Forest Dragons?
No, but you're on the right. See, this is where it gets hard.
Okay, what about... Who was our... was it the Fire? Who was the women's basketball team?
Again, too recent. They played at the new arena.
The Rain?
No.
Damn it.
So you don't know any of these.
You're just going to name generic things that could be Portland names now?
Well, we could get away with it.
We've had a bunch of...
The Steelhead.
No, they played They played in the Rose Garden.
He didn't even know that was a team.
What about an old soccer team? Was there an indoor soccer team?
Yep.
I can't remember what
was. They were called the Portland Pride.
Yes.
And they played there in the 90s.
Yeah.
Warriors.
I remember that from when I was a kid and I couldn't think of who the hell the team was.
You also had the Portland Power, the ABL women's pro basketball team.
See, I knew there was a women's basketball team. That was the one where they ran out, like the bus broke down and they had to cancel games.
No. That's the Rain.
That was the Rain?
Yeah. You need to go back further to get to the Coliseum teams.
Oh, because they were literally like on a road trip somewhere and the bus broke down, so they just canceled games. They're like, we can't.
There was that woman that everybody was looking for that disappeared or something.
Mary Liss or something.
Yeah. Anyway, she was after the Portland Power. You also have the Portland Timbers of the NASL.
Okay.
From 1975 to 1982, they played their games in the Coliseum. And the last pro team that played there was the Portland Prowlers. And that was a one-season indoor pro football league.
I don't remember that.
And that was in year 2000.
Mm. Now, I would say that was where my first basketball game I ever saw. I saw Blazers-Lakers was my first ever game.
Who was on the Laker team? Was
Kareem
like
and
80s?
Magic and, oh, and cool. All those guys, Worthy. And that was a...
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. First ever basketball game I ever went to was there. I saw the Tournament of the Americas, which was the Dream Team in 92.
Mm-hmm.
Bird didn't play, though, which was kind of...
that was a big deal.
Yeah, that sucked. He had a bad back.
Did you go to the Dew Tour?
I did not go to the Dew Tour, although I saw Andre the Giant versus the Ultimate Warrior live at the WA Memorial Coliseum.
Wow, you have quite a Memorial Coliseum history.
Uh-huh. Except the match lasted like 30 seconds.
Who won?
The Warrior did. This is like when Andre the Giant was breaking down. Like he couldn't move. And so the Ultimate Warrior ran down, hit him once, did a splash on him and pinned him and then ran out of the arena. I'm not kidding when I tell you the match lasted 30 seconds and we're like, what the hell was that? But I did see those two.
Also, the famous Davis Cup was held there. Davis Cup of tennis. Well, that's a big deal.
That's something.
So that was there at the Coliseum.
Also, my first concert, Billy Joel, was at the Memorial Coliseum as well.
Bro.
On the Stormfront Tour, I believe it was.
Do we have, let's see. I have it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, one other text. Hizonia is the new Stauskas.
Oh, 100%.
Somebody text that in.
Remember last year during the preseason, Stauskas was just Soskas. Oh, he's going to be unstoppable.
So Hizonia will be the first guy traded, basically?
Pretty much.
But everybody loves him right now.
Yeah.
Here is Mark Melanson. So the Braves are down 13-1 to the Cardinals, if you're just tuning in. Mm-hmm. 13-1, and it's only like the fourth inning.
Yeah.
But this is maybe why they're losing. Braves closer Mark Melanson with his hype video before the game on social media.
Big day today, guys. We need your energy. Game 5 NLDS. Let's do this. The energy. Let's go. Let's do this. Need your energy. We need to feel that relentless energy.
What an exciting time.
Keep going. Let's go. Game 5. Here we go. Finish it up.
There it is.
Go out.
You excited?
If we need your relentless energy.
Someone needs to teach him how to cut a WWE promo. Where's the Rock or Roddy when you need him?
Yeah, not his finest work, probably.
Bring your energy.
Go Owls.
guys, bring your
maybe he was trying to do that erotic thing. What is that? You know that what were you calling that?
ASMR.
Yeah.
ASMR. Yeah.
Maybe he was trying to seduce everyone into being excited. This monotone whisper.
Good times. Well,
you know what? I can tell you, it didn't work.
No, no, it did not.
He should have passed out crochet needles. That's good. That's good. Love that. All right, let's get to some football. Our Hump Day NFL Roundup is coming up next. The news of the day involves Antonio Brown, a Richard Sherman apology, and an NFL gambling first. 357 on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.